All this month, we're talking about joy. But it feels odd that I am the one talking about joy this morning, because I've never been terribly good at recognizing joy when it's right there in front of me. I've always sort of tended toward the pessimistic or the depressed, and joy hasn't come to me easily. That began to change, however, one spring day some years ago. I was working in a church. It was in a sort of drab beige office I shared with someone. It was full of supplies. It was also the storage area. And I had been typing away for some time under the fluorescent lights and just wanting to get done, when in walked Reverend Ginger Luke, my supervisor. And she said, "Ann, come look with me." And you know, frankly, I just wanted to be done. I just wanted to finish my project. But it was Reverend Ginger, so I got up and I sort of trudged after her as we went out in front of the church. And she pointed to this little purple flower. It was actually unassuming and, to me, underwhelming. And I was trying to think of something really positive to say when I look back at Ginger's face. And Ginger has dimples, so her entire face was lit up seeing this flower. She was full of joy. And it wasn't about the flower in that moment. It was about Ginger. I actually got joy from her. And I walked back into my office feeling so good. I was sharing my office with my excellent friend Beth, and I had great music on. I was getting work done on projects I really cared about, and I was full of joy. Then it was not too long after that, I was on my way home, and on the radio came a song I hadn't heard in decades. It was John Mayall's Room to Move. And I turned up that song. It reminded me of my father sitting close to the speaker, leaning down, almost with his ear on it. And he wasn't having trouble hearing. He was focusing on the harmonica solo. And the look on his face gave me such a good feeling about that song. I car danced all the way home. And it was at that moment I realized there had been two experiences in my life recently in which I had experienced a joy, but I did it through another person's appreciation of it. And I began to realize that this would be something I could do on a regular basis. And I actually started collecting moments of joy as a spiritual practice. And I began that by starting with memories. Those moments when I'm trying to fall asleep and I would tend to think about the thing that I wish I hadn't said, or something that I needed to do that hadn't gotten done, or lists of things that I needed to do. Instead of letting my mind wander in that direction, I started conscientiously remembering, reliving moments of joy. And I found that I slept better and I woke up happier. And it worked out really well for me. And then I saw a clip, you know, the one of Gene Kelly singing in the rain. And I realized that I could collect more than memories. I could collect artifacts, actual things like books and movies and music that expressed people's joy. And I started doing that. I have a collection on my computer at home, and I have one at work. And when I'm feeling down, I like to open them up and go through them and enjoy them. Now, the actual collection isn't a very difficult thing. I feel the joy right away, and I know what I want to collect. But the decision of all those experiences, the decision of which ones I was going to include, was a little more complicated. And I ended up developing over time a list of rules for myself to help decide what would go in my joy collection. A spiritual practice is only a spiritual practice if you make it one. So more and more, I try to be very specific and particular in what I included. So let me share some of those rules that I developed for myself with you. First of all, I don't include happiness in my collection. Now, happiness is really important. Don't get me wrong, I am a big fan of happiness, but some people equate happiness with a sort of serenity or peacefulness. And that, for this collection, is not what I'm looking for. That kind of happiness has its own place and deserves its own collection. But for this, I'm looking for something really exciting and overwhelming and just in your face, like the loud bang, boom, bop of Animal the Muppet when he plays the drums. If you want to see an example of what I mean, you can go to the UUCL Facebook where I've posted an example of Animal playing the drums. The second guideline I have for joy moments is that I am not restricted to feelings that originate with me. I think joy is infectious. And I am more successful myself in identifying moments of joy if I start by looking for it in other people. There's nothing wrong with recognizing joy in someone else and then taking it on for yourself. One really great example of that is a flash mob. And again, you can check on Facebook to see one of my favorites. Now, I've sort of become a flash mob connoisseur. I like ones that include all different kinds of people, and they build and build until you find yourself sort of involuntarily smiling and grinning, and you wish you could have been there yourself. In a way, a flash mob that grows from one person to 2 to 60 to 300 is a manifestation of this very point. The joy doesn't need to originate with you. You can get it from others. Another of my personal guidelines for finding joy is that I don't have to share in that source of joy. Whatever made that other person joyful doesn't need to be something that I find inspirational myself. And an excellent example of that is the Edwin Hawkins Singers and their recording of Oh Happy Day. Now, I am not a born-again Christian. I don't believe in the religious principles that inspired Edwin Hawkins when he wrote or rewrote that song. But I can hear the joy in it when I listen to it, and that's enough. I hope you'll take a moment to go listen to a really well-recorded version of that song that I've included there on Facebook. Now, when I'm gathering moments of joy for future reference and rumination, I don't include things like weddings and births and life events like that where you are expected to find joy. Now, those things do bring me joy, very much so, but it's sort of anticipated that they will. And that's not what I'm looking for here. I'm looking for surprises and joy. For one thing, not everyone feels joy at times when it's expected. Some people find Christmas to be sort of a prescribed tyranny of joy. You may not feel like celebrating. And you may not want to turn that particular age, and that birthday party does not appeal. And that's okay. For me, I find it more fulfilling to collect my own moments of joy. And they are best expressed by a book that we shared during the Story for All Ages, Bird Baylor's I'm in Charge of Celebrations. And you'll find a reading of that on Facebook as well. The first time I read that book, I was looking at it, thinking about it as a story for all ages, and I immediately added it to my artifact collection. My fifth guideline has to do with reciprocal joy. In my life, I've worked really hard on political campaigns, and sometimes my candidates have won, and there was a kind of joy that was overwhelming and worth remembering and saving. But I don't put those experiences in my joy collection because, of necessity, when I was celebrating and filled with joy, somebody else was miserable. And if it's joy at another person's expense, it fits into another category, and I don't include it in my spiritual practice collection. So, to summarize my parameters for joyful moment collecting, number one, it's more than happiness. Number two, it should be infectious. Number three, the source of the joy doesn't need to be inspirational to me. Number four, weddings, births, and similar life events aren't included. And number five, joy at another's expense doesn't qualify. I have had so much joy in this practice. This has become a wonderful, pivotal experience for me, collecting moments of joy. But it has changed over time. In the evolution of it, I began with the memories of joy, and then I began collecting artifacts that recorded the joy. And then I started to add another aspect to the experience. Now, we will never know what the great singer Jenny Lind sounded like. We've heard a lot of, or seen a lot of descriptions, and people have written about it, but you and I will never know. And we won't know how the great Edmund Kean interpreted Hamlet. But the technology of the past couple decades allows us to capture moments of joy as they happen and share them again and again. We can have the spiritual practice of collecting these moments of joy and then a second experience of sharing them communally. Now, nothing is going to replace that moment of shared joy as it happens. I mean, that's why we come to church on Sunday mornings, right? Or one of the many reasons is that we get to hear good live music and participate in it. But we're privileged because we can not only hear that live music on Sunday mornings, but we can hear things like Anna Mafo's Songs of the Auvergne, or even Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine. We can discover moments of joy that took place when we were not there originally. And in addition, we can share those artifacts of joyful experience with others who weren't there. I have one more moment of joy in from my collection that I'd like to share. I added it relatively recently. It's actually a gymnastics routine. And again, it's on that Facebook page. The spiritual practice of savoring moments of joy has grown for me as I share them with the people I love. Now, they may not feel the same sense of joy that I feel, not at that level, but they do get to learn about me, and I get a second joyful moment being able to share things I love with people I love. To keep the moments that bring true joy to you, to keep those moments to yourself is a lost opportunity. So, if you haven't ever heard John Mayall's harmonica solo in Room to Move, I'm going to perform my spiritual kindness of the day and recommend it to you.